We started a long time back in January talking about purpose, vision, and mission, that kind of thing. And we read our purpose statement in the bulletin talking about that our purpose is to be the church that God wants us to be, help people to find Jesus and then them find their full potential in Him. We went on through the Word of God, and it said that we're to love the Lord with all of our what? Our heart, our soul, and our mind. And then love our neighbors, ourself. And we went on to talk about spreading the gospel. And that's what the Bible says we're really about. Evangelism, like Phyllis talked earlier. Love Out Loud's an opportunity in July 15 through 20. So make sure you get ready to hear more about that. And there'll be excellent opportunities to serve and to lift up the name of Jesus. So, to fulfill that purpose now of loving the Lord with all of our heart and our mind and our soul, we said we need some principles to live by. We said prayer must be a priority in our individual lives and as the church. If we're ever going to take care of the mission, prayer's got to be a priority. We said discipleship's a definite thing. We've got to be growing. We've got to be learning. We've got to be disciplined, yes, and become the disciple that God wants us to be and disciple somebody else. And we said evangelism is essential because without that, the church becomes stagnant, so to speak. So this might be the last one on evangelism. We'll see. The old song you've heard and you probably know, lay some soul upon my heart and what? Love that soul through me. You remember that? Lay some soul upon my heart and love that soul through me. Who are you loving to bring into the kingdom of God? Lay some soul upon my heart. That can be our prayer today. Lay some soul upon my heart, Lord, today. And when He does that, maybe while I'm preaching, maybe when you're eating lunch, maybe whenever, but you've got some people on your mind that you know need the Lord. Lay that soul upon my heart and love that soul through me. That means action. That don't just mean hearing the sermon on evangelism. That doesn't mean just knowing what it is to be a witness or whatever, knowing the gospel story, but it requires action that you go love that person and you show them the love of Jesus as well as tell them about the love of Jesus. So, all sorts of resources we have today, program after program. Go to the Bible bookstore and you can see shelf after shelf. You can click your buttons on your iPads and your pads and my pads and everybody's pads. You can get all sorts of information, how to be a witness, evangelism, what it's about. We know those things, so what do I share? Well, we share the love of Christ. We tell them the Christmas story, so to speak, and the Easter story. We know those things. But what they need to see is us loving people and loving God and being the church. So many definitions in my young life of the church. What is the church? Well, the church of... And here we've got all these names. We've got all these folks that deny Jesus as the Savior of the world, saying that they are the church. The church of what? I'm talking about the church of God. I'm talking about where Jesus is the subject, where Jesus is the Savior of the Lord. And there's so much confusion, and it's getting even in the Bible Belt. And it's getting all through Mississippi just as well. So what do we need to understand? We need to understand that people need to see the love of God. Yes, hear it, preach it, teach it, but they need to see it through me and through you. So when they look to the church, will we respond? I hope we will. John 13:35 on the screen says, "By this all men will know that you're my disciples, if you love one another." By this, all men will know that you're my disciples if you love one another. People may not come up to you this day and time, and I pray they will, but they may not come up and say, "Where do you go to church?" Or, "Where do you serve? What church do you serve in?" Or, "Would you please lead me to Jesus Christ?" Now, if somebody comes up to you tomorrow and says to you, would you please lead me to Jesus Christ? I want to become a Christian. What would you do? What would we do? Well, hopefully we would proceed to tell the gospel story. They would pray a prayer and they would become saved. Would you please lead me to Jesus Christ? Well, I don't know if that'll happen or not. I pray it will, but that's not the norm anyway, put it that way. So, you can be sure of this, whether they come up to you or not, they're watching you. If you have any kind of title, like pastor, Sunday school teacher, coordinator of this or that, or youth or whatever, they're certainly watching you. If you say, I'm a Christian, and you proclaim that in the office space, in the workplace, they're definitely watching you there too. So people are watching us and they're looking at the church. Now everybody looking at the church don't view it the way I do. Don't view it the way you do maybe. Some people are looking at the church with scorn this day and time. Some people are looking at the church of the Lord Jesus Christ with hatred in their heart, because of things that they've seen and things that's happened to them. And if you get past that, then there's a lot of people looking at church with doubt. Well, you know, I have so many options anymore. We have so many options in anything we do. Go buy a vehicle. What are you going to have to eat for lunch? What the choices are out there, and the choices to quote religion. Now, I use that word in quotes today. There's so many choices. Which one's right? Which one should I choose? People are watching us. They see things in the news about preachers and priests and about Christians that should never happen. And they wonder, well, do I really need anything to do with the church? And my answer, and your answer, I believe, is yes. You need to have a lot to do with the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, the church of the living God, whose subject is Jesus. You need to have something to do with them, but people have doubt. So do you know anybody today that needs the Lord? Lay some soul upon my heart and love that soul through me. That's what we're going to do this week. So for years, you know, there's book after book and article after article telling parents. Now, parents, you need to raise your children and you need to teach your children. And the book goes on to say they watch you. What you do before them will mean more than just what you say all the time. So parents, you know, you raise your children. What they see you do, they'll do. What's important to you when they're down here in these little years will be important to them. So you need to show them how to live. And it's the same thing with the church. You know, how many times, pardon me, have you heard the expression about preaching? You hear these things, practice what you preach. Have you ever heard that? I'm sure you have. John 13:35 says, by this all men will know that you're my disciples if you love one another. We can talk about Jesus. We speak about Jesus. We teach. We preach. We go to small groups, and that's good stuff. We need to hear and gain knowledge and have that things explained to us. And then we come to this scripture here, and it says, but you're going to have to love people. Your actions are going to have to be that speak louder than your words, and people will know if you love them or if you don't. The Church of God has said for many, many years, we reach our hand of fellowship to every blood-washed one. And that's always stuck with me. It's stuck with some of you that truly in the Church of God, that we mean that. We reach our hand of fellowship to every blood-washed one. If some people say, well, I'm a Baptist. Are you saved by the blood of Jesus? I reach my hand of fellowship to you. Well, I've been a Methodist. I've been a Pentecostal. I've been a whatever. Are you saved by the blood of Jesus? If you are, I reach my hand of fellowship to you. And I think that's not just a little phrase that the Church of God came up with many, many years ago, but I reach my hand of fellowship to every blood-washed one. That's important. Now, and I'm not picking on New Hope or the Next Church or the Pentecostals or Evangel Temple or anybody else. But if somebody comes here and they tell me they're saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, I don't feel it's necessary that I baptize them into this church. I think that's a man-made thing. So if you want to be mad at me, you can be mad at me. Because if Jesus has saved them and they're baptized, why am I going to do it over? That's just my opinion. I'm going to let Jesus handle that kind of stuff. And how am I going to know if you're saved or you're not? Well, I preacher, listen here, I prayed a prayer, I cried at the altar. Well, I was at home and I just simply said, I know I'm a sinner, I'm a heathen, Lord, forgive me of sin. If people truly with a genuine and true heart ask Jesus to forgive them of sin, that's good enough for me. And Jesus adds them to the church. I don't do that. I don't put people in the church or I don't kick them out of the church. Jesus takes care of that. I reach my hand of fellowship to every blood-washed one. That's the way I understand it. And I believe it, and I'm thankful for it. Well, we got to walk the walk. You've heard that. Talk the talk. That's the things we've got to do. Somebody says, well, you know, sometimes those Christians are kind of long on words and short on action. If that's true, maybe we need to shorten the words and do a little more action and show people the love of Christ. Jesus said that you draw near to me with your lips, but you're far from me in your hearts. He is saying, hey, think about this now. We've got to be saved by the grace of Almighty God, Jesus the Son, and after we're saved by that grace, then we do good works. Works don't save us, as you well know. But after we're saved, we're going to do good works of some kind because the Lord will place it in our heart. Saved from sin to what? To sit on a pew for all my life. Saved from sin to serve. Saved from sin to serve in some capacity. So we want to do that through this world we live in. 1 Corinthians 13:1 on the screen says, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I don't have love, it's not what it needs to be. Somebody says declaration without demonstration. And then that's meaningless. Declaration is one thing. Without demonstration is another thing. So we're going to share the love of God. We're going to talk about heaven. We're going to have thoughts of Jesus Christ and His grace and His love and all that's wonderful. We're going to come to church when the doors are open. We're going to love people. We're going to do for others. We'll tithe our income. We'll witness. We'll be involved in kingdom work. And all that's good, but we're going to get saved first by the blood of Jesus Christ, so then we can serve in these capacities. The love of God's what people need to see. By this all men will know you are my disciples if you what? Love one another again. If we love one another. Well, what kind of tools do I have to have here for evangelism, for it to be essential? Well, you know, I go to the jails and talk to people, and you say, well, that's great. I help the mentally handicapped at this facility. That's great. I go visit the hospital. That's great, and all that is good, and I'm thankful for people who do it. But what about a routine day when you don't go to those places? What about just the routine day of living where you're at home and your wife just really gets under your nerves that day because fill in the blank. What if it's that day that your husband just gets on your last nerve or whatever we say? What about just the ordinary day, routine, living at home, raising kids, all that kind of stuff, everyday lifestyle, everyday habits? What about then? Well, the action needs to be there. They need to see the love of God then too. And the early Christians, we read in Acts, how they were just overflowing with joy. How the gospel was spreading. I mean, like fire it was spreading. And good things were going on there. And what was happening, those people in Acts were gossiping. And they were gossiping the gospel. The only gospel that needs to be shed is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the only gossip that is permitted is gossiping about Jesus Christ. Now, who you been gossiping about? I got some funny looks. Why y'all looking at me so strange? Are you gossiping about Jesus? Are you telling somebody what Jesus did? I'll tell you one thing right now. Old Doug Anderson, let me tell you what he did. Ooh, boy. Old Doug did this and old Doug did that. How about, hey, let me tell you what Jesus did. Do you know what Jesus did? Man, he was born of a virgin, or he died on the cross. Or let me tell you what Jesus did for me in this illness, in this sickness. Let me tell you how God's blessed me today. Let me tell you this, what God has done right here, how he saved my soul and made me whole, and on and on. Gossiping about Jesus, that kind of gossip is allowed. That's the only kind. Matthew 23 on the screen says, "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You clean the outside of the cup and the dish, but inside they are full of greed and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and dish, and then the outside will also be clean. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You're like whitewashed tombs, which look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside are full of dead men's bones and everything unclean. In the same way, on the outside you appear to people as righteous, but on the inside you're full of hypocrisy and wickedness." That is a mouthful, isn't it? How can we think we can just get by with Jesus on words alone? We can't on words alone. Something's got to happen here. You might sound good. You might look good. But if the heart, the inside, is unclean, you're unclean. And he makes it very plain in this scripture. If the inside's bad, it's bad. You ever had a piece of fruit and it looked good on the outside, and then you cut it in two and you see all this junk in there? You say it's bad and you toss it out. Well, about the same thing right here. Real? Genuine? Are we real? Are we genuine? Are you the same right here today, this morning in the church, as you'll be at your boss's office tomorrow? Or if you're the boss, are you the same? Will you be the same on Monday in the meeting that you are on the church pew on Sunday? In the situation at home or the situation at Walmart or whatever. Real and genuine. The same if you were talking to President Trump, or if you was talking to a bum on the side of the road, or if you was doing whatever. Are you the same? Are you real? Are you genuine? I believe there's a lot of that right here, and I'm thankful for it. And we need to be real, and we need to be genuine. Oh, so if you tell me you're a rose and you smell like a skunk, I'm going to say you're a skunk. If I tell you I'm a rose and I smell like a skunk, you're probably going to say, he's a skunk. They smell different. They act different. So we've got to be real. How can I be real? Only through the blood of Christ. Only through the power of the Holy Spirit. Only through God's grace and goodness to us. Only by doing what we said way back in January, loving the Lord our God with all of my heart and my soul and my mind. And when I get my heart and my soul and my mind in the direction it should go, loving God, then I can smell like a rose. If I get out of line in those areas, I smell like a skunk. Well, church, we hear the words evangelism. We hear love out loud. We hear all these things. And then we look and we ask ourselves the question, is the church dominated by the world, or the world dominated by the church? And then most of the time we don't like what we see. Is the church dominated by the world? Well, it ought to be the other way around if it is. So what's going to make the difference? We're going to join up with Love Out Loud. Will that make a difference? I believe it will make some difference. Is it what Jesus said to do? Yes, I believe it is. But it gets down to me. It gets down to you. I've been picking on Doug, using his name. It's up to Doug. His heart. It's up to your heart. Your heart. My heart. Your heart. It's the commitment we have to Jesus Christ the Lord. To Jesus Christ. He's the subject. So is our commitment to Jesus, is it really just informing people, or we're informed about Jesus? We know about Jesus. We've heard about Jesus. Or is it really enforced? The power of God's enforced, and the prayer is enforced. It's not I've just been informed and I just hear bits and pieces about Jesus, but you know, really it's enforced in my life. I'm living that life. Now, nobody said that everybody in here, it never makes a mistake or we're perfect. Jesus is perfect. He did tell us that we can be saved by the blood of Jesus, filled with the Holy Spirit, and we can live a godly life in this present world through the blood of Christ and through the power of the Holy Spirit. But I know that we make mistakes. Is it just like I have this cold form of religion, and I've been told, and I know, and yeah, I got saved way back when, and there's no fire in my life, and I've got this cold form of religion, but I just deny the power therein, and I just go through the motions. Well, I hope not. Is this thing a relationship with Jesus or a religion? So this church thing, this, have I got a relationship with Jesus Christ the Lord? And how is that relationship? Or is it just a religion? I come, I go to church. Words like real or fake. Real or fake. What is it? What's the world need to see? The world, by this all men will know that you're my disciples if you love one another. If I speak in tongues of men and angels but have not love, I'm on a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. Woe to you teachers of the law and Pharisees, like whitewashed tombs, which look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside's full of dead men's bones and everything unclean. So we got to look at the heart. We got to look at the heart. So this Christianity, is my Christianity, is this relationship or religion? Is it that I'm going through the motions, or it's real? Is it obvious in word, this Christianity that I claim and I have, and I'm to proclaim I'm a follower of Christ? Is it real? Is it genuine? Is it in word, or is it in word and deed, both working together? Well, you know about you, and I know about me. So my prayer is today that all of us will deal with self first. We'll deal with self wherever we're at and in our relationship with the Lord. And when that's done, that we will come back, Lord, lay some soul upon my heart and love that soul through me. That it's not just what I say through the lips, but it's what I say and my actions lined up with the Word of God, because the world needs to see it. Well, this old world, I'll tell you one thing, it sure is getting bad. The world's always been bad. The Old Testament people were bad. The New Testament people were bad. 2018, there's evil, and the devil's roaring and roaring around and roaming around, and the people are bad. But what opportunity lies ahead? What opportunity lies ahead? Well, I'll tell you this, I'll tell you that. Yeah, I know. But what opportunities do we have to say, okay, yeah, okay, I understand this, but let me gossip about Jesus. Let me tell you what Jesus can do. And evangelism becomes essential to us. What's the song I just loved a minute ago? I believe in you. With all I am. We're going to sing that again. And you're going to stand with me. All who can. Let's go. Here we go. And here we are together. And we're going to love Jesus. And I'm going to ask myself the question, and I pray you'll ask yourself the question. How's my relationship with Jesus? Fake, real, genuine. Those are kind of hard words. I don't mean them to be harsh, but it is what it is. How am I doing? Do I love the Lord God with all my heart and my soul and my mind? Am I loving my neighbor as myself? Am I gossiping the gospel? Am I telling people about Jesus? Is it a part of who I am in my words and my actions? Is it happening? And then, what soul, what name has God placed on your heart? Evangelism must be essential for the church. So today, you and me before the Lord, I believe I belong. If I'm standing in this pulpit, I believe and I belong. If I'm somewhere in India, I believe and I belong. If I'm on vacation, I believe and I belong. If I'm in the trenches of depression and down and out or physically ill or whatever case, I still believe and I belong, all because of the grace of Almighty God. Altars are open.